approved unanimously.
This morning.
Again, the Conley,
No.
Political sophistication, all right.
I'm afraid that she is going to be credit for it.
No, she's a very able, she's a very able woman. I think when they got into it, realized all the facts around it. Parents, excellent performer, she was entitled to be confirmed. You know, it's a fine thing, but, somebody who's come up hard, you know, born in Mexico, very grew up in Berkeley, California, worked her way up, and when she got to the top, and, you know, Spain, gets scholarships for Mexican youngsters, and become great in the United States. It's a great story. It's a fine, and she's a fine woman, she sure is a fine woman. You could just tell when you met her, when she, remember when she came in that day, she was very, you know, overwhelmed and big, the president's office is so hard. Most, I guess, but she and her husband just seem so like such fine people.
It's gonna be a real pleasure to work with her.
Yeah. She'll be over there, and she participates in your staff, you know, and everything, just like,
We have one, every Friday morning in addition, I suspect, your men are in this.
Mary Brooks.
But in addition, I see him quite often, at other times on pick the problem. But I think she'll enjoy it, she'll, it'll be a great experience for her, and she'll make a real contribution.
One company we talk about is our group of candidates. You see, we've got this Canadian meeting this afternoon, and of course we have the other meetings coming up prior to the time that those meetings are held. I think we will. We had a conversation. Let me see if I can get her on the phone. She would love it. That'd be one. If you got your Mr. Willows, please.
If you want to wait till you talk to her about it.
Yeah, we'll locate her. I'll make it, I think we ought to discuss that. Sometimes.
Generally speaking, I think there's a disposition and a desire on the part of most of the countries in the group of 10 to get back to fix exchange rates. But to put it, I suppose it's as succinctly as I can, the United States has for 22 years been running a deficit in our balance of payments. This simply means that other nations and all countries in the group of 10 have been running surpluses, basically at our expense. Now, as you go, your actions is what you said with respect to realignment of currency, trade, and burden sharing. They're being asked to equalize the pressure. And that simply means that they have to give up something. And it's not easy. Now, everybody assumes that our principal problem is their relationship with us. But the truth of the matter is that equal concern, perhaps even more concern, is their the interrelationship among themselves. I mean, to give you a classic example, Germany values their trade relations with the United States. And obviously, the relative value of the D-mark, the German D-mark, to the dollar is important. But on the other hand, when you look at it pragmatically, they do twice as much trade with France as they do with the United States. And the D-mark's relationship to the French franc is therefore far more critical to them than the D-mark's relationship to the dollar. Now, the same is true of the pound sterling of the United Kingdom, of the Italian lira, and so forth. So their interrelationship in the European community, frankly, is more difficult for them than their relationship and their problems with us. Now, our problems with the Japanese, I think we can solve those very readily on trade and on realignment of currencies. But before they agree they want to know where the demarcus is going to be. They want too great a disparity to exist in the world markets between the yen and the demarcus. So that every one of these are interrelated. This is why we have a real problem. When you get 11 countries, we call it a group of 10, but Switzerland there is actually 11, when you get us all around the table, and everybody trying to protect their national interests, it's awfully difficult, Mr. President, to get them to lay their last cards, so to speak, on the table. They don't want to ultimately divulge their final position.
Well, I would say part of the reason for that is that, while this may be an overstatement, you said everybody there for the purpose of protecting their national interests. Up until we faced the crunch and had to move to protect our national interests, you could say everybody there but the United States there to protect their national interests, and they just more or less assumed that the United States did not have to, that we could afford, and frankly, thank God we could in times past, we could afford the luxury of being very generous in all these matters, and now we can't.
That's exactly correct. But even notwithstanding that, Mr. President, under your instructions, I assure you that we have not foreclosed a single possibility of action for you. Now, notwithstanding these stories about the price of gold and so forth, I assure you that in these discussions, we assumed certain things. But at no point did any member of the delegation, there were only Dr. Arthur Byrne, Paul Volcker, who was the Secretary of Treasury, myself, only three of us were in these executive sessions. And I had the argument said to them that I had a lot of arguments, Christ told, that position was ultimately decision had been made, as far as I was concerned, by you, and I had no indication that your position was changed, and as a matter of fact, that you didn't have the power to unilaterally and singly invade the Congress has. Made all that very clear.
But we were forthcoming.
Now, Mr. President, that's the interesting thing. In spite of the fact that we, operating again under your instructions to try to protect the United States, we were the most outgoing nation represented at that time. We pushed the proceedings. We tried to reach us up. There's no doubt about that. Now, and this was even more true on the trade issues. I really can't overemphasize my disappointment when we first got there, because it's obvious that most of the countries had not seriously considered this trade matter, and frankly, we're not prepared to talk about it. They wanted to continue to discriminate against American commodities, just as you had anticipated that they might. So we spent the first 4 hours of the discussion in a very determined, heated discussion to insist, as you asked us to insist, that trade matters be a part of this overall package. So, and we finally came to it. They finally agreed to it. But in the absence of your determined insistence that this be done, frankly, it wouldn't have been done. But now it's open. It's open now. And Ambassador Bill Everly is going over, I believe, tomorrow. He's going back tomorrow and start negotiations with the European community on some very critical issues that could be extremely important to the United States. But they're tough now. I must say to you that, you know, I've been characterized, I must say, as being a tough trader by some of the columnists and commentators. But you're lying there, Mr. Russell. We're sitting here as one nation with all of the others substantially aligned interests, all their interests are not common. They do have a common position against us. And so one of them speaks and the other speaks. When you try to fend off one after the other all day long, hour after hour, it does get a bit difficult. You do have to be a little bit firm. You have to be a little bit determined.
Confirmed unanimously.
Yeah, and we're delighted that after your long waiting period, you are now a treasurer of the United States of America, and we know that the position is in good hands, and particularly as a Californian, I just want to congratulate you to see that one of our folks made it. Have you heard from Secretary Connolly since you got confirmed? Well, he's sitting here. I'll let him call you, too. Here he is. Here he is. Ms. Manuel, congratulations to you. I think that's wonderful. We'll look forward to taking you aboard over the charter and look forward to working. We couldn't be happier. Thank you so much.
Here's what do we want.
say that to him. Not prepared to say that.
Not unless he's prepared to give you everything you want. I think your position could well be with him today that we thought we were talking about a mother down the line of the sun. We thought that's what you were interested in.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not going to be interested in working out a common solution with Japan, with the European community, if you want to work on a bilateral basis, just Canada and the United States, well, then we're going to have to approach this problem, so far as the other nations are concerned, with a completely different attitude. And then you just say, if that's what you want, then we'll have to talk about trade issues, we'll have to talk about your floating with you, and we can do it on that basis. But it's going to, in effect, change the rules of the game. Because we've been proceeding now 3 months on the assumption that we were going to have a multilateral solution to the problem. And just say that if you're not going to go back to fixed exchange rates, if you want to continue to float, and yet we're going to be forced to go back to fixed exchange rates, then we're going to have an agreement out of you that you will have a clean float until you reach a certain period or a certain point. And let me explain that the Canadian dollar and the U.S. dollar are now roughly on a par. They're roughly 99 Canadian dollars to the 1 American dollar. 99. It's almost 1-for-1. Now, they ought to revalue by probably 6% at least. So what they've got to do, and the least we ought to ask of them, is that they, if we permit them to float, that they have a clean float until they reach 105.
I don't know what the Secretary has going to say. Have you seen who speak about you?
No.
It's spectacular. This announcement that I mentioned to you has already been made. They decided it was better to
cut the Our lady gave several prices, which I've got outlined in this memorandum. Number one, that if he floats, he floats, and I start out to 107. He's roughly on par with us now. So that would mean he'd have to float up 7% before he ever intervened. In other words, the $80 would be 107 to the dollars.
We haven't discussed anything like that with us yet,
Well, we've been talking at the lower levels, Governor. Just so that you'll have to take part of your share of this revaluation. You want to float at $11 achieve the level of market limit.
All right, I suppose he said, no, we don't want to do that there. We might have a law of the national.
I just say that's fine. Then you take your pro rata share of the weighted average, which will cost you just as much. You say that's fine. If you want to do it on a multi-national basis, that's fine with us. We're prepared to settle on 11% weighted average base.
Mark, what we want in either deal, we want these concessions on trade out.
That's correct. So we want auto agreements, which are outlined in there. You want the tourist business, which is outlined in there. And there are a number of other specific items that you can talk to him about. I don't know if you're going to get that specific with him.
I don't think
he will.
I don't want to. I don't want to get specific at all, but I don't know what the hell he's going to bring up. I want him not to send him off. So
that's correct. If he has no size, the precise points that I think he will have to make. We try to simplify it, and I don't think you get into it like he brought it. I would recommend that you.
What can we say that this should be? I'd rather say this should be handled at another level. But what level?
The one he has done, he's not been somebody, he is the trade minister, would have been
one of your office members.
Yes, sir. You say, why don't you get this and pay Pete with the Conley standards or
I can't get to this, so I don't think he doesn't know anything about it either.
I assume he doesn't. But we were just trying to, brief you in case he did, so that you can counter it. And I just think you say, well, we're very disappointed that you now will play a lone hand, that you now will work out our problems on a bilateral basis. Now, when we first failed to see you 60 days ago, you said you didn't want to do that. You want to go on a bilateral basis. Now, we'll do it anyway. But we are going to have to work with you on some of these trade matters. You have your people here, and I'd like our people to get with you and try to settle them today.
Let me ask you to do this. You let, I think you ought to let Jerry Ford, give him a call. You might get a little bit of a call on that school business. You can make a call for it and then see whether he thinks it should be well if you call Wilbur or let him know. I don't want to call him again. But I think then that's him, and let's get that ready. Then let Timmons over here know that that's our strategy. I think it's the best strategy, John. And but you decide that you've got to meet this damn Wilbur today. And I'm convinced let's get the tax bill and quit screwing around. We got an awful good deal there.
Mr. Barber, this is the best activity you've ever got. You've got more of what you want.
Right.
And less of what we didn't want.
That's right.
You've got the fact that you're right.
And the checkoff, then you kill next year. And it will be killed.
Very good.
Second point, would you kept
I know the argument is, well, what about 400 million people can you
as far as I know, and moral leadership and the rest, and trees. Well, so they're going to be against us without the 10 billion, or with the 10 billion.
I would have had the 10 billion.
That's right.
I'm getting to the point that the body and you say, never are with us, sir, on any
issue. Now, we believe we should take that very, conciliatory line. We're not doing this out of bitterness to this and that, but goddamn it, these people are the aggressors here. They're trying to destroy Pakistan.
Now, they recognize half of Pakistan as an independent state,
that's right.
It's no longer an issue of Pakistan, but that's enough.
All right, see you, Tom, sir. Thanks.